This hour of the Trevor Carey Show is powered by Energy Concepts.
They're trying to stop me because they know that I don't answer to them. I answer to you. It's true.
There are certain groups of very aggressive people that love the first debate. But I think this was better. This is obviously a more popular way of doing it. And no, I think, you know, I wanted to play by the rules. I felt very strongly about it. It's two different styles. I'm able to do different styles, you know, if you had to. But this seemed to be much more popular.
This is the Trevor Carey Show. On Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
I don't make money from China. You do. I don't make money from Ukraine. You do. I don't make money from Russia. You made $3.5 million, Joe, and your son gave you. They even have a statement that we have to give 10% to the big man. You're the big man, I think. I don't know. Maybe you're not, but you're the big man, I think. Your son said we have to give 10% to the big man. Joe, what's that all about? It's terrible.
Yeah, it's called Tony Soprano. You got to pay up, man, to the big man. That's Joe Biden in the emails that they don't want you to know about, or they don't even want you to, they don't even want to talk about. Listen to Nancy South Park Pelosi, and I say Nancy South Park Pelosi because she's never sound more like a South Park cartoon character. Behind her mask, Nancy talking behind her mask. Nancy Pelosi talking behind her mask. Listen how quickly she cuts off a reporter's question about Joe Biden and the shenanigans scandal.
Madam Speaker, these serious allegations of corruption involving Joe Biden have been raised in recent days.
I'm not answering your questions, okay? We're talking about the coronavirus. That's what I don't have all day for questions. That's what we're taking now. Anybody have a question on the coronavirus negotiations?
Nancy. Don Fetter posted some history that I'd like to remind you about. And what we saw yesterday with the lighted up broadcast, they burned it down twice. The cultural Marxists out there, they don't even believe that you could have a campaign on the corner sign for your candidate. That's what socialists do. That's what these fascists do. They come out and they torch and they blaze, and they got away with it twice, but they didn't get away with it. One of them sitting in jail right now looking for the others out there. But it got rebuilt. It got rebuilt out of steel out there on Road 80, Avenue 384. It's a tourist attraction now, Dolly Slager's farmland out there. And thanks again to Mr. Dolly Slager and those out there who all helped put that together. And thank you for coming out. 500 ballots were dropped off. That's awesome. Way to go with the new voting rules out there. You know, some long lines on election day. Vote now. Get your ballots in. Put them in the mail. Drop them in a secure place around town that the county has set up. Drop them off downtown. Drop them off at a secure ballot collection hub like at the GOP headquarters on Shaw. Trustworthy and 100% legal. But the walk down history here that I would like to remind you about, and I'm going to add some of my memory of history onto this. And all those who wonder who said, are you just going to sit here on a nice day and watch TV doing nothing? I heard that over my life, especially from women. But I did watch. I watched, I watched a lot on the Weimar Republic in Germany and how they caved to Hitler. That always has fascinated me. How did, if you turned off the volume and didn't hear their accent, their language, it might look like Boston or New York back in the 30s or San Francisco. Could it look like anywhere in America? How did those individuals cave to Adolf Hitler and the hatred? Go read Mein Kampf, guys, that he wrote in the early 20s in prison when you threw him in prison because he tried to overtake you in the beer hall rebellion. Why? Go look and see what he wrote. How did they cave to that, right? Well, we've seen it throughout history. And what we've seen, and it's calmed down somewhat, but the spirit is still bubbling. I think they've just taken, this is like the eye of the hurricane when it comes to the riots and protests after the election. And I'll tell you what, watch this. In the slightest event, what I saw yesterday just gave me so much confidence that even if that's the attitude out here in California, Trump's going to win. But let's say Joe Biden does win. Do you think the riot and protest, they're going to just turn it on whatever administration that it is? They want to bring down America. We got a reality going on. There's a fire, and we've seen it before. Those of you that history rememberers of history, in Paris in 1789, they had a lot of great literature and art and architecture. And what happened back in Paris? The guillotine came. Moscow, 1917. To go back and see how that happened. It started out with marches going on, in favor of the government of Russia in 1917. But they all turned it on. The rage and the violence came in. That's when your communists came in, and the attacks on authority came in, and all the chaos that came in right there. And I hear people say it can't happen here. Well, I bet you a lot of those people in Germany in the 1920s and 30s probably told themselves as well that, we have culture here. We have scientists and research, and people come here around the world to our medical facilities. We're not going to elect a big old gang of thugs. They're just on the outskirts of society. And then you saw what happened. Our Constitution was and is a great foundation. And there's people from all over the world that want to come here. And that's the reason why, because coming out of that Constitution gives us freedom. And this nation has gone through a lot. I mean, we had our very own Civil War. This is defense against a revolution that's happening. I don't look at this as a Civil War. I don't think we're there yet. I still think there's enough people in this country that still believe the same way, who are Democrat and Republican, who still want an America where there can be freedom of speech, freedom on the internet. You don't attack somebody because of their political beliefs. You don't call them names because of their political beliefs. Lying Biden, unless they're actually lying. But as we've seen right now, man, we have a Democratic Party that has actually given Antifa and Black Lives Matter big old hugs, haven't they? I mean, Black Lives Matter is already the founders talk about already being trained Marxist. You got Antifa following the communist playbook. You know what the communist playbook is? Go back to 1917. The communist playbook is you call everybody who opposes you a fascist. And we actually now have Black Lives Matter, all the major corporations. And pay attention to this right here. Microsoft, Amazon, IBM, Uber, Grubhub. I could keep going. But what you really need to hear is what Lenin said, the communist Lenin. I'm going to quote him. Capitalists will sell us the rope with which we will hang them. You know what's happening in America with those companies I just named? They're giving away rope. That's what they're doing. Lenin, again, quote, capitalists will sell us the rope with which we will hang them. That's what I'm saying. When Biden, the rare chance that he does squeak one out somewhere somehow, that they will still attempt to hang them. We've already seen it in Portland, Seattle, Chicago, New York. These Democratic mayors, they didn't put it down. They could have come in. If they put it down the first night in Minneapolis, it would not have spread. They want it to happen. I'm blue in the face from saying that. We've seen the playbook. We've seen exactly what they tried to do. We just recently with Columbus Day, or now in certain areas that have Democratic mayors, you have the anti-Columbus Day, the Indigenous Peoples Day. They destroy statues. Still doing it. Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, they went after the Historical Society in Portland. And over the summer, old Mayor Ted Wheeler in Portland said he was just waiting for the riots to burn themselves out. Still going on. And we've had the Democratic Party cheering it on. And if Biden wins, there's not going to be a place for conservatism inside America. Could you imagine a Justice Hillary Clinton? if they pack the Supreme Court. Can you imagine the people? Might be Michelle Obama on there, right? And Oprah Winfrey. Throw an Oprah Winfrey on there as well. How about Cardi B? Just throw Cardi B on the Supreme Court as well. This is a very scary time, and that's why you need to get those ballots in as soon as you can. There's game plan. Congressman Nunes yesterday opened my ears, opened some other people's ears when they heard it, saying you can't even trust what Governor Newsom might say on election day. You know what? We due to COVID, we are shutting the polling down at 2:00. There's just too many people. You don't know. What, that wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. And there has never been a more obvious difference in their vision for America than what we saw on display last night. Here's Joe Biden calling the president Lincoln. The president was saying that he's the most
racist person in this room.
Abraham Lincoln here is one of the most racist.
No, he said, I'm the least
racist person in this room.
Abraham Lincoln here is one of the most racist presidents we've had in modern history. He pours fuel on every single racist fire.
What?
Every single one. Started off his campaign coming down the escalator saying he's going to get rid of those Mexican rapists. He's banned Muslims because they're Muslims. He has moved around and made everything worse across the board. He says to the, about the poor boys, last time we were on stage here, he said, I told him to stand down and stand ready. Come on. This guy is a dog whistle about as big as a foghorn.
President Trump, I'm going to give you 10 seconds to respond, and then I have a follow-up.
No, he made a reference to Abraham Lincoln. Where did that come in? I mean,
you said you're Abraham Lincoln.
No, where did that? No, no.
You said,
I said not since Abraham Lincoln has anybody done what I've done for the black community.
And I'm saying,
I didn't say I'm Abraham Lincoln. I said not since Abraham Lincoln has anybody done what I've done for the black community. Now, you have done nothing other than the crime bill, which put tens of thousands of black men, mostly, in jail.
All right, true.
Because if you look at what's happening with the voting right now,
let me ask
they
Vice
remember
President
that
Biden
you treated them very, very badly. Take a look at what's happening out there.
He's still a racist. He's a dictator, right? It's been, about 4 years? And when has this dictator come out? Guys, show us the footage. Show us where the dictator is. This warmonger, where is he? So far, we got a peace deal between Israel and several Arab nations, and that could change the Middle East for years to come right now. You're not going to hear that in the media because that didn't fit what they're trying to build of this man, right? And he last night talking about, he met with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un, and, he said, you got to talk to other nations, and that's when old Biden chimed in with the Hitler thing.
You know, people don't understand. Having a good relationship with leaders of other countries is a good thing.
We have a lot of questions to get to.
Your
response.
It's like saying we had a good relationship with Hitler before he, in fact, invaded Europe, the rest of Europe. Come on.
Come on. Come on, man. Come on. You want to talk about dictators? Governor Cuomo, New York. You want to talk about dictators? Governor Face Mask Gruesome here in California. You want to talk about dictators? Governor Wicked, Governor of the North, Gretchen up in Michigan. These are the ones that are running over people's constitutional rights. These are dictators. Joe Biden last night denied calling the travel ban from China xenophobic. He said the president did not help small business during COVID. How about if we fact-check the man, and we'll do it next. And Alex Tavlian, he's coming up at the bottom of the hour, City Council. We had some fireworks.
This is a corrupt process. The taxpayers are being ripped off. This isn't about Chinatown. This is about a corrupt process.
Again, this whole either-or thing, the comment, if you support this, you're engaging in corruption. You know, people aren't stupid. They're not going to fall for that. It's that kind of politics hurting this country.
Trevor Carey, Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400. The Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400.
Fresno City Council member Gary Bredefeld accuses the rest of the city council of corruption. We're going to talk to Alex Tavlian, San Joaquin Valley Sun. Coming up at the bottom of the hour here, I don't know how many people. I haven't seen any ratings yet. I've seen how the World Series is tanking, but I didn't see any ratings on the debate last night. But much calmer. I thought Kirsten Welker did a much better job than Wallace by far last night. You could hear times I thought you're, but you know what? If it's your person, if it's your, you're going to hear what you're going to hear. But she did many times I thought sway it. But we expect it now. It comes used to, it's how it's going to be from now on, I guess. But after they say it, we can do some fact-checking, can't we? Joe Biden tried to claim that he was not referring to the travel ban as xenophobia. He actually used the word xenophobia to denounce the ban when President Trump imposed it. Sorry, Joe. As well, on January 31st, President Trump issued a travel ban on China through an executive order. Joe Biden's response, quote, "We have right now a crisis with the coronavirus," Biden said in Iowa on Friday. This is via The Hill. It said, "This is no time for," here's his quote, "This is no time for Donald Trump's record of hysteria and xenophobia, hysterical xenophobia and fear mongering to lead the way instead of science." He even tweeted to make the point as well. So, yeah, Joe, you did go into that.
Lose 200,000 more people.
President Trump.
Look, perhaps just to finish this, I was kidding on that, but just to finish this, when I closed, he said I shouldn't have closed. And that went on for months. What Nancy Pelosi said the same thing. She was dancing on the streets in Chinatown in San Francisco. But when I closed, he said, "This is a terrible thing, you're xenophobic." I think he called me racist even, and because I was closing it to China. Now he says I should have closed it earlier. It just, Joe, it doesn't work.
I didn't say either of those things.
You certainly did. You certainly did.
I talked about a xenophobia in a different context. It wasn't about closing the border to Chinese coming to the United States.
As on the same day that he did it there, Joe. Rush Limbaugh tweeting out, if the mainstream media says the debate was a draw, that translates to a grand slam home run by Trump. So true. If you watched it, his demeanor, much different last night, as we saw. He did his own debate review, and I think it's really, it's funny to me. He's like, tried that style, then I'll try this style.
There are certain groups of very aggressive people that love the first debate, but I think this was better. This is obviously a more popular way of doing it. And no, I think, you know, I wanted to play by the rules. I felt very strongly about it. It's two different styles. I'm able to do different styles, you know, if you had to. But this seemed to be much more popular.
I'm able to do different styles. What do they want? Let's go. I'm on stage. What's the audience? I'll play to the audience. I can do a different. Oh, he did do a different style. And it's kind of he was kind of forced into that style, wouldn't you agree, with the rules? But after the 2 minutes, they were, you know, they were let loose, and he did do a different style. Joe Biden said that the president had done nothing to help small businesses. Does Joe Biden think that we forgot about the Paycheck Protection program? I interviewed restaurant owners on this show locally that said yes, they received that. I talked to other business people here who said yes, we received that. Joe, the president, it's not just the president, but our United States government sent out over $511 billion of loans that went out. He made the same thing in the first debate. I mean, they can't quit. He was attacking the president on coronavirus most of the night.
When we knew it was coming, when it hit, what happened? What did the president say? He said, "Don't worry, it's going to go away. Be gone by Easter. Don't worry. The warm weather. Don't worry. Maybe inject bleach." He said he was kidding when he said that, but a lot of people thought it was serious. A whole range of things the president has said. Even today, he thinks we are in control.
All right. Coronavirus obviously is contagious. I'm not making a joke on people that have dementia or Alzheimer's. It is a brutal disease, and it's really sad when couples that have been married a long time and one of them goes through it, and or the rest of the family, grandkids, especially smaller kids, it's hard to explain why grandpa or grandma are acting differently. But I'm going to say, seems like Alzheimer's might be a little contagious. Kamala hanging around Joe.
We're looking at over 220 million Americans who just in the last several months died.
Wow. Did you guys catch that in the news? 220 million Americans over the last several months have died.
We're looking at over 220 million Americans who just in the last several months died.
I'll make mistakes as president.
I will not sit here and be lectured.
Okay. Executive Director, San Joaquin Valley Sun, Alex Tavley, and he's going to be on the show next. Little corruption at City Hall. That's the charge. We'll see how it went down. Alex next.
Trevor Carey, Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400. Trevor Carey on Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400.
Man, they're breaking stories up and down the valley. Their readership, or I guess you call it viewership, Alex Tavlian, because they're looking at it with their eyes, right? Viewership, readership, clickership, what do you call it?
All of the above. You know what? All of the above.
Yeah. Well, you're growing. Has it been, let me guess here, is it 2 years? Two and a half? Two?
18 months, just a year and a half at this point.
Oh, I factored in the COVID time period there, which seems like about a year. So that we're all off track with our time periods, aren't we?
Well, I say that's like dog years. It's like I've been around for 5 years at that rate.
That's what it feels like. How's your? I've been asking people this lately. How's your sleep been during the last 7 months during this?
You know what? It's been a roller coaster. I was really excited that first weekend when everything shut down. I slept like a baby because, you know, I figured out nothing's going to happen. Everyone's going to be stuck at home. And then 7 months later, here we are, and it's just turned into complete insanity. So. The amount of sleep I've gotten has declined precipitously in the last few months.
So sleep is important to you, because some people sleep.
Very much so.
Yeah, me as well. So good, you're the right person to ask this. Have you tried that heavy blanket yet? That thing that weighted blanket.
My fiance has a couple of them. I love them. They're fantastic.
So you have. All right. Does it make you hot though? Extra hot, or is it? What's the upside of it? Because I sleep with a few blankets because I do like that heavier feel. But tell me the upside.
Honestly, it's just you take, instead of having three or four, it's just the one. And I think that's the best upside to it. Is it's just you just cut down on the number of things there. You know, it's just that one blanket, but it's got that weight of a few more.
You know, because, yeah, I'm always having to take the top blanket off to rearrange the second blanket because it's moved way down in the bed. So I guess, yeah, that is the upside to it. So, all right, anybody listening that might be doing a Christmas list, put that on it. I want that for Christmas. If I don't get it, I'll buy it myself. Alex, listen, we got I just yesterday, the broadcast, getting out, meeting people, the weather's changing. I'm getting in the mood of, can we start to feel good about some things? We really need to, don't we? You know, whichever way this election goes, I'm going to feel pretty bad if the socialists win, but life will go on, and we're going to have to find some good things. The president's going to win, and we're going to take back the House. But, man, we do need some uplifting.
Yeah, amen. Amen, absolutely.
You're supposed to say something really uplifting right there. I can't think of much to say either. We're like, we need it, but I don't know what. Well, yesterday.
I don't know when we're going to get it. You know what? It's a lot like rain in the valley. You know, you never know when you're going to get it. You just keep praying for it. You know what I mean?
That's true. Let's keep praying. Let me play a little audio snippet here of yesterday's city council. We had some fireworks going off here.
This is a corrupt process. The taxpayers are being ripped off. This isn't about Chinatown. This is about a corrupt process.
Again, this whole either or thing, the comment, if you support this, you're engaging in corruption. You know, people aren't stupid. They're not going to fall for that. It's that kind of politics hurting this country.
The first voice you heard, Councilman Bredefeld. The second voice you heard, Councilman Carbasi. Alex, tell us the story, why that exchange happened.
Yeah, so yesterday the Fresno City Council debated a contract to hire a company, Olympic Property Services, owned by a friend of my own, Jim Veras, who's been on Power Talk in the past and other radio stations and TV stations here in town. The contract was for $143,000 to clean up the Chinatown district of downtown Fresno, which, if you've ever been there, it's pretty gnarly. It's pretty nasty, and it needs cleanup. The contract was kind of brought forward on a no bid basis, no bid competitive bidding process. It was brought forward by Council President Miguel Arias, and so as the language you heard there was Councilman Bredefeld really contesting the contract itself, and with beyond him, the Brand administration really fought the need for this. They argued that the city of Fresno could handle cleaning up Chinatown on its own without having to bring in a private contractor. And that's really where Bredefeld kind of came into the fold and said, look, this, he called it a corrupt process. He referred to the city council as a swamp. It got pretty heated. And for folks who didn't see it, I highly recommend you watch the council meeting. This might be the one city council meeting worth watching just for the sheer theatrics. I don't think I've ever seen a Fresno city council meeting devolve to this kind of back and forth. I mean, honestly, Trevor, have you ever seen anything like this? I think it's a first time ever.
No, I flash back to the days when I had four city council members in here and our entertainment lounge, and we did a live show and everybody was getting along. Boy, we've come a long way from those days.
We have.
Some of the Zoom conference city council meetings were quite entertaining to sit back and watch on a late Saturday night, weren't they? It scared me. Like, these are the people that are in charge of our city. It frightened me. But now they're back at the dais. Of course, I think they're 26 feet separated or something, and everybody has plastic around them. But it's in person downtown. Now, Alex, I read today the city manager said the Department of Public Utilities could have done it for less money, and if not, the project should have gone out to competitive bidding. I'm sure that's why Councilman Bredefeld upset about it.
Well, in theory, that's what he's saying. In reality, not so much. I mean,
explain that.
So in theory, yes, the city should be able to do this. And in a typical world, in the world of Mayor Jim Patterson, if you go back to the early or late 90s, yeah, the city could definitely handle this. I mean, Chinatown in the late 90s sure as heck didn't look like this. And so, times have changed. Bureaucracies have changed. In the middle of the council meeting, the city manager saying, yeah, we could have done it for cheaper. But, you had a call in the middle of the meeting from the union head of that department who said, we don't have the bodies for this. We don't have the bodies for it because of coronavirus and the restrictions on our budget. We don't have the ability to make this happen. And so it's better for us to go out and bring in a contractor to do it. So the argument that was made by the city manager was kind of undercut by the people who actually do the job. As far as the competitive bidding process goes, that was kind of the other element. That's really where Councilman Bredefeld spent a lot of his time going in and really kind of obliterating his own colleagues, calling it a corrupt process. At the end of the day, there's only one guy I've ever seen in this town really fight the no bid process. And it's not, oddly enough, it's not Gary Bredefeld. It's a guy by the name, and you know him, and I know him. He's a good friend, Brooke Ashton. He's one of the crusaders on, no-bid contracts and wanting to end that. And he's the only person I know who's never voted on a no-bid contract. He's always voted them down and forced the competitive bidding process. And so...
This seemed like, it's been framed as a crisis. The cesspool can't sit there any longer. It's a public health hazard. Competitive bidding, Alex, how long does that take and what's the process?
So the process can take anywhere from about 2 to 5 months. I mean, it can take a long time to go and issue a contract. And again, this is a bureaucratic process. They got to go through. They got to validate that the person who's bidding is a legitimate vendor. They have to go through and verify that they have the capabilities to make it happen. And then they have to actually read through the bid and determine if they have if the bid matches the needs of the job when they put out a request for a proposal. And so all that takes a lot of time, whereas in this particular case, Olympic Property Services is currently doing very similar work. They do almost the entire job that's being requested just in different parts of the city. So they already have a track record. So that was the argument that was made, was they have a track record of doing this. They're not, coming out of the woodwork. They're not some unqualified person. I don't know if you ever saw the movie War Dogs, but it's not like that film where you have some military, you have a couple of kids in Florida becoming, arms dealers. It's not like that. You've got people who are validated, have done the job, coming in and, saying we have the capability, we have a track record of doing it for the city. And we can do it now because the crisis is right here. It's right now. We don't have 5 months to wait. We got to do it today because you know, this is becoming a health hazard.
I don't know if you'll be able to, I'll get back to war dogs in a minute, but I don't know if you'll be able to answer this question. How common is this at City Hall to be like, okay, we got a quick issue. We can't do the no bid or the competitive bidding because that's going to take anywhere from 2, 3, 4, 5 months here. We got to take care of this. Let's go hire a company to go out and do it. Do you know, is that common or is this really rare that this popped up?
Very common. So I'm glad you asked that because I you know, usually, as you know, Trevor, I'm not in studio, but I don't come in with notes, but I did want to grab some notes for today because I wanted to make sure I had this correct. So I went through and went through all of the council agendas since April. So in all coronavirus time, right, all of just in this window, since April 9th to today, the Fresno City Council has issued no-bid contracts on 30 different occasions, at least 30 different occasions, and there's some, you know, you can kind of go through and it can get a little bit bigger, but it's at least 30 times they have approved no bid contracts. Of those no bid contracts, the amount that's been spent far exceeds $20 million, $25 million. The biggest one of them all was the city's decision to issue a no bid contract to build the animal shelter over at the property that used to be owned by the Gap, a distribution center. They have a little extra land that was owned by the city. They gave it to the Gap to build the distribution center, and then the Gap gave it back to the city. That was a no-bid contract for $18 million. And that was kind of one that a lot of people scratched their heads about and were like, well, are we sure we should issue this contract without going to a bidding process on building the property? And oddly enough, it was a 7-0 vote. Councilman Gary Bredefeld voted for it, and it was a no-bid deal. So it's one of those where it's very common. And so why the big question, I guess, for a lot of folks, myself included, was why today? Why yesterday? What set this off yesterday versus 3 or 4 months ago?
Now, we're down in the tsunami. Let's go back and look at the real problem. And this is part of the tsunami due to COVID. If we don't have the money for our city public works department to handle it because of COVID, it's a simple question. I guess, how do we have it for an outside company?
So the issue for the city side isn't so much the money, it's the bodies. So in order for the city to service this, based on this is what was discussed in the meeting yesterday, was they don't have sufficient manpower to handle it. And so the city kind of came back and said, well, if you spend X dollars, we can bring on these people internally and do it. And, you know, that will be able to solve the problem. It's basically we'll create new bodies, but we'll keep them inside of the sandcastle.
This just sounds like a finger in the dike, doesn't it? I mean, because when it's not going to stop. The real problem is the shutdown, and that we don't have the bodies to come back to work. So trash is still going to keep piling up, and we're going to have to keep, I guess, going out and hiring outside companies that have people going, hey, I'll work. It doesn't make sense when you really boil it down. This is just, it's part of the tsunami, right? The council members yelling at each other and everybody calls of corruption and all this. It's part of the tsunami from all of this.
Yeah, it's part of the chaos. And unfortunately, until there's some normalcy at City Hall in terms of, you know, reorienting the bureaucracy, getting people back to work, you know, this is, given the crisis moment that we're in, This is unfortunately becoming standard operating procedure because these problems are not going anywhere. You know, trash is piling up in Chinatown. Our roads and, you know, across the city are a complete disaster. There's, you know, there's all sorts of issues that are popping up, and unfortunately, the big issue consistently is I think from everyone is a leadership issue. I think that the mounting frustration for all sides of city council, whether you're Councilman Bredefeld or you're Councilman Arias, is the current bureaucratic management is not up to snuff right now. I think that's the big takeaway from all this. They are venting their frustration in two different methods. Bredefeld is upset at the way that they're contracting out in the absence of a well-managed bureaucracy, and Arias is just trying to solve problems in the instant in the best way he knows possible.
Let me ask you in closing, you know more about this than I do. You've done your research on this. Thank you for sharing it. Is this worth, in your opinion, Councilmember Bredefeld questioning this?
I think questioning it, yes. I think what happened yesterday, no. I think that exceeded what was necessary. I think he crossed the line that was not necessary given what was on the table. I think if we were talking about something bigger, something with higher stakes, I think it's understandable. But what was conveyed really did cross a line and was kind of unnecessary.
I know it's Friday and the Tavlian man might have some plans, but you got a sec to come back in this next segment and talk about Vance Peace?
Of course
he does. We're going to put him on hold and come back. Vance Peace got city funding. He said it's going to tackle Fresno violence. We've been talking about this for, I've been talking about this for 5 years, ever since Modesto. So we'll come back, talk about it right here.
The Trevor Carey Show. Power Talk 96.7 AM 1400 and the iHeartRadio app. The Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
Like to thank my guest, Executive Director, San Joaquin Valley Sun, Alex Tavlian. Alex, before Fox News here at the top of the hour, let's talk about Vance Peace. City Council's agreed to fund it. At first, it was going to be, it got shot down. Did Mayor Brand veto it?
He did veto it last in 2019.
So $125,000 is going taxpayer money to Vance Peace. That's pocket. That's the money you put on the side of your nightstand for a city, but it is still our taxpayer money. Now, let me ask you, they say it's funding mentorship, social services, employment opportunities, and education, or is it cash in the hand of the most likely banger to shoot, incentive not to shoot?
Well, I mean, based on the description that I've received of Vance Peace and that has been presented in the past, it's much more the latter than the prior. The program itself, it creates these quote unquote mentorship programs, but ultimately the end of the rainbow are these sort of per diem payments to people in these high risk neighborhoods and who are identified as high risk potential violent, you know, would be violent criminals to not engage in violent crime. And so, based on every report I've ever gotten on this program, it's more the latter than the prior. I will note though, much of that, you know, in many jurisdictions has been funded by private money. And so it's still kind of to be seen what the city's money is actually going to go for.
Well, we know. And when this came, I talked to the guy that started Vance Peace. I think it was up in Richmond and Oakland area, and I had him on the air, and we had a good conversation. We disagreed, and I said, well, it'll be coming taxpayer. Oh, it's not taxpayer funded. That was his whole push. This is not taxpayer funded. This is coming from private. And I said, well, we'll watch. I said, hey, if private people want to give the money to it, knock yourselves out. See, if it works, if it really does work, then maybe might be something to talk about. But I said, definitely not taxpayer. And here we are, 2020, Fresno City Council putting taxpayer money toward this. I look at it like the bully who takes your milk money, going, well, we're not going to stand up to him. We're going to just create a fund so he has milk money.
Yeah, that's honestly, Trevor, that might be the best analogy I've ever heard of this program. I'm just going to say it right now. That might be the best analogy for this program I've ever heard. And frankly, the frustrating element of this is, on this program in specific, and this is notwithstanding the current environment of violent crime hitting Fresno, every other community that has had this program come forward, private dollars have financed its operation. And I think, Trevor, you tell me if I'm wrong. I don't really mind if this program operates on private money. I don't think most people mind.
It's America. It doesn't matter if I mind. It's America.
Yeah,
you can do it.
And that's the thing that might be the most frustrating to a lot of folks, and no doubt taxpayers, first and foremost, is that we're spending taxpayer money to fund this program where most jurisdictions, the biggest one I think that I can point to is Stockton, it's almost exclusively funded by private money. And one of the organizations that really pushed Vance Peace in its first iteration in 2019 on the city of Fresno was Fresno Building Healthy Communities.
And burn it down. Burn it down.
Organization. Burn it down. Yeah.
Burn it down.
Organization.
The burn it down organization. Alex, listen, we just barely tapped into this. We got some more time to talk about this. Where can everybody get this kind of info in their inbox, sir?
Yeah, head on over to sjvsun.com/signup and sign up for Sunrise AM, the best newsletter in the valley.
All right, Alex, have a great weekend, man. And we got a lot of good things to look forward to in this country and this state and this city. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Trevor.
All right. Name three, Trevor.
Well, if you have your health right now, that's one. If your family has your health, that's two. Come on, somebody give me a third. Give me a third. Oh, the weather's getting better. All right, there you go. God bless America. We'll be back in a minute.